Ram says at the beginning of Hilchos Tanius that the purpose of the days of Adal Tanesim, the purpose is the Churban came about because of Averis. We have Averis. The Averis which we have generated the Churban, and we need to address those Averis and do tshuva, and that will allow us to address those Averis. So it's the time to be Mizbrenin in the Churban. And the elements of tshuva that we need to do. Shabur quotes it, this Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Tanius Parakei, that you know the Dal Tanesim, the goal isn't just to fast. Obviously, the goal is to do tshuva. I had a person who was halachically was not required to fast. They pointed out to them that. So after the tshuva, he said, maybe rather fast, you know. it's easier to fast than it is to do tshuva. So it's always a possibility. I want to think about a specific midah on Haga and the Kuda, which it's a difficult thing to talk about because you'll see why in a second, but it has to be spoken about. And now in the tkufa that I'm dealing with, it comes to head once in a while. It's a mitzvah of a karsa toiv. And I've had enough conversations as dealing with, as a rabbi, with, the guy doesn't have a karsa toiv yeshiva, doesn't have a karsa toiv yeshiva, should have a karsa toiv yeshiva, why does he have a karsa toiv yeshiva? We can meet today, him to have a karsa toiv yeshiva. You know, he owes a karsa toiv yeshiva, you can't make somebody have a karsa toiv. And Rebbe, when he writes about the midah in the Shor Chelev Beis, he points out very clearly that it's a midah which he calls it's a midah adam la'atzmai. Karsa toiv is not a midah ben olam, not that I owe somebody something, I'm interacting with somebody, I'm focusing on somebody else. It's a hug inside of the person. It's an attitude. He puts it in between his bainanus, which means the person has to train himself to be a thinker, and a muna. Like that, he puts it. So he sandwiches the vadim. That's the world that he talks about. It's a world of a thought process that's going on internally inside of the person. It's something the person has to train themselves to do. The Arichas, he talks about the different Mishanim who talk about how our Avodah is founded on the Midah of Karsa Toiv. Quotes the Ramban and the Parshas Bo, where the Ramban says that really the purpose of all of the Torah and all of the mitzvahs is that why the Bereshit created the world was that we should come together and say thank you to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the whole purpose. So we understand if that's the whole purpose, that's going to be something which is very intrinsic to our being. We're going to understand that besides that, it's something which is going to be challenging. Because if it's the purpose, it's not going to come easy. Because it's going to be an avoider. That's why you have, you have the children, you say, to say thank you, anything but thank you, almost, It is a challenge. He mentions this in something which I grapple with a lot. You want to say your tefillahs, you want to say them with the element of a hargasha in the words and understanding of the words. Element of feeling that you're saying what you're saying is true. So the person, I feel a bit horrible. I really feel horrible. So I have total regret that I did this. I don't know. So you say nishmas. Right? We say that. And we go this whole list of had we been like this phenomenal super being, right? So we can't thank you for one thing that you did. That's a hargosha which is way beyond me. I feel, of course, I tell you, because created me, etc. Do I feel the hargosha that it's impossible to me to thank Kodesh Baruch Hu for one thing? The Baruch gives me myriads of things every single day. Every breath is a tavor from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And here I am grappling with that, maybe I have a Karsa Toiv, but do I have this hargosha that's way beyond my ability to do that? I don't know. It's hard to say. We're margish that now. Here I'm saying these tefillah every single Shabbos. And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable that that should be my attitude, that I don't get what I'm saying. You know, why are you saying it if you don't get it? And we say, okay, but we can't do that because our pi isn't molishir kayom, and our sharena isn't, you know, when we don't have wings, and we don't have, you know, like, you know, then frusas, I don't have hands which are frusas kinesh shemayim, my hands which are spread out like this. Now I don't even understand. Like, I'm so far removed from the world of what the nishmas is saying. Nishmas is brought down in the Gemara. It was nusach of Chazal, right? Exactly how having wings which are spread like Nishrei Shemayim helps me be moedet to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's beyond me, which is, you know, it's sad. It's so beyond me that I don't know what I'm saying. You know, but we're not there. So you say, with our mouth and with, you know, we'll do what we can, and that's a commitment. So every morning you say that Kol Zman Hashem Shabim Moded Nefanecha Hashem, right? Kol Zman, as long as I have life in my being, as long as I have my neshama in my being, I'm going to be invited to Kadosh Baruch. That's a major commitment. So where do you start? Because I'll say, so I'm basically the points of what Rav Volper writes in Al Dishur and Al Kursat Chel Beis on our Kursat Tov. That the Gemara says that Matan Maseisa Yechafa Af, that something which is given anonymously is a good thing. But the Gemara says, and the Moran Shabbos says, when I give somebody a matan, I have to be Madiyah him. So Tosaf Bader says, how do the two things stem? That something which is given, but teres yedidus between two people, I have to tell the person, because part of the goal is the yedidus, right? So if he doesn't know that I gave it to them, so we didn't enhance the yedidus, the friendship between the two of us. On the other hand, something which is given, as Matan Maseir is referring to a case of staka, so the goal of there is my goal is to help the person and maintain his self respect. So I obviously can't, I do pesach. But between two friends, there's no diminishing of your self-respect, but they have to give it to you. So, Adar Rabba, I should inform you, because then you'll have the Karsa Toiv that you'll have will enhance your relationship. So Karsa Toiv is a way to understand, it's to be understood in the context of a relationship. When I have a Karsa Toiv to you, at that moment, we've opened the channels of a connection. So it's something which I have to find inside of myself to do that. Which now comes along Chazal and says, "Call a kofer with tevasa shel chaveroi, seif will be kofer with tevasa shel malkum. He'll be kofer in a Kadosh Baruch Hu." So there you have it. Right? That if the human being is supposed to spend his lifetime connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu and living with that awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and here he is being koifer, but he's not developing that koyach to connect to something outside of himself. Rav Volper says that, you know, the concept of the Karsa Toiv, really there's two elements which seem to undermine it. One is the feeling of magiyali. So I deserve it, so there's nothing to be makar toiv. It wasn't toiv. And if you give me something which I paid for, so there's, I don't feel anything special that what just happened. So I'm not makar toiv. I don't recognize the toiv. So that I'm koifer b'toiv. I deny the toiv which is there because I forget I deserve it. So Magili is the first problem. He says, and the second problem is that we understand that being makar toiv creates an expectation on my part that I owe you something, and we don't like living with feeling meshubin, that there's an expectation from me of something. Expectations are. But the reality is, all relationships are predicated on expectations. That you can't have a relationship if you don't feel that there's anything expected of you in this relationship. So then it's just basically you're a recipient and the person's a giver and you're a taker. So a Karsa Toiv, in general, the person's personal element of a Karsa Toiv is where he's willing to say, for the sake of this connection, I want to feel. I just had this interesting conversation with somebody. the partially what was on his mind was, you know, she was making a banquet in her baron's honor. It's 20 years of Yeshiva Gedolah. It's 20 years to be bespotted about, you know, what we have and what we've accomplished. And how much Rabbi Aaron has, how much he means to people, how much people have gained from him, etc. So it was, of course, part of the job is that they have to make phone calls for financial commitments from people, etc. So the person says, you know, I can give X right now. So I suggest the person, you know, we don't need the money right now. And money's always good, but we don't need the money right now. The main thing is, you know, it's budgetary. We would like, you know, you commit to something, and we know it's in the budget. There's a pledge there. That's valuable right there. If you can spread it out over 12 months, so you can maybe give a little more. You know, so I can afford $100 now. If I spread it over 12 months, I can afford $200. I'll spend it, you know, pay, you know, $20 a month. It's $250 already, almost. Well, the math is a little bit off, but same, but you know, you get the idea. So the person, I don't like living with Shibunim. Right? But, you know, if I pay right now, I can afford $100, and I paid $100, I'm done. Good, potter. Right? But if I spread it out over 12 months, every month I have to lay out money. Even though it's much less, but it means I'm living with a shibud. I don't like living with a shibud. And here we're saying that the whole Yisrael of Kursa Toivah is to live with a shibud. That's exactly what he says. The Rebbe says what is the challenge of Kursa Toivah is we don't like living with feeling that we're beholden to somebody. But the whole Yisrael of Kursa Toivah is to recognize that we are beholden to somebody. Somebody's giving us something of value. There's a relationship which has been created. And relationship means we have to contribute into the relationship. It's a very difficult type of a situation, just with those things, conversations, because I'm supposed to be a Rebbe, and here I am a fundraiser. You know, sometimes the two hats don't go well together, right? You know, both directions. There's something, you know, as a Rebbe, I can't ask him for any money because it's not really right to ask him any money. But as a fundraiser, you got to ask him for money. You know, it works both ways. But the conversation was we just caught the challenge. Any relationship that you're going to have, it means that there's an expectation on your part to put something in. And the kudah of Kursa Toivah is to recognize that you've developed a relationship with somebody, and when there's an expectation, it doesn't necessarily be financial. It can be time. It can be thought. And I have to tell you that the responses which I've gotten many of them are very heartwarming. The people's response, not necessarily the money, you know, but just the whole attitude of yes, I want to do, I want to help, I want to be involved, I want to, you know, because I recognize that I got something from the yeshiva and I want to give back. That's a beautiful thing. So what do you do when you have this? Like, gosh, I don't like feeling shibudim, and that, you know, and if we've discussed before that if you trace this back to this is Adam Arishan. Like he comes to the world and there's an expectation of him. He says, I don't like living with expectations. I want to be independent and do whatever I want. I think I mentioned to you that I had I give my chassan classes for the Shalom Bayis classes. So I had a fellow who was very into it, etc. You know. It's great ideas, understanding women, understanding your wife, you know, commitment to giving thought to it and trying to understand what's important to her and approaching it from that angle, you know, etc. Gets married, and 2 weeks after he's married, he says, listen, he says to his wife, basically, he says, listen, lady, this is what I am, take it or leave it. I ain't changing. That was like, you know, what he said in almost those words. You know, and not she told me that, she told me that. Right, we were, you know, because obviously I got stuck in the middle of dealing with the Shalom Bayis issue, and you know, it's one thing that she told me that, but he told me, he said, listen, this is what I am. I'm not really in the mode of changing. She likes it, fine. Doesn't like it, tough luck on her. That's not marriage. That's not a relationship. Relationship is you're committing to give. So well, I'm going to give. I'm going to give money. I'm going to give, you know, time, whatever it is, you know, etc. So that's an easy way. That's a cop out. Because what the person's needs in the relationship are is understanding, emotion, etc. I don't want to give you. I'll make sure I'll go to work every single day, and I'll make sure you have what to eat. So I've taken care of your physical needs. So I've given my part. That's sort of what the attitude is. So that's not a very healthy attitude. Relationships are the is but it's it's you're committing to something. And we don't like to commit. Some people, that's their nature. This guy, another guy, his nature is he likes to be fiercely independent. So any feeling of commitment to something overwhelms him. Even holding on to a job for longer than a few, like a year or two, is very difficult for him. Like, I need something new. I have to change. I'm going to start a business. He can't settle. Because his nature is to be fiercely independent. So I'm beholden to a boss. I'm beholden to a client. So my own job, business, I'm beholden to a client. It's hard for him. So that's, he's an extreme in that point. But that, we're all like that. That's what the Bible is saying. That idea of taking away, a curse of type takes away our independence. I recognize that I got something from somewhere, and I have responsibility to that, and I can't just do whatever I want. I'm in a relationship. The flip side of that, I was once talking to I remember the exact conversation, how the conversation went, but the gist of the conversation was that a person, he had been married for many, many years, and his wife was a terrorist, and obviously it was very painful for him, so long. And like you said, that the pain of the separation is a small price to pay for all of that he gained of having that relationship all those years. Obviously, the nature of the way Russia made the world, at some point in time, that's going to happen. But the emotions and everything that he gained from it, the more you put in, the more you're going to get out. So if we go back to Nishmas for a second, you think about it, that, right? If we would be able to relate to what the mechaber of the piyud is saying, and we would have that experience, we have that feeling, it would be such an uplifting emotional experience, feeling the goodness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to the point that I feel a Kurs HaTayv to this extent. You can imagine how enriched our lives would be if we would be able to have that Hargosha. If our Kurs HaTayv is to the extent of we really appreciate how much we got. So when this person, if I wouldn't have a feeling of Megiyah, I deserve it, or I don't want to commit to it because it's overwhelming for me. But rather, wow, look what I got. And I have to give it, and I feel like the Hakaras HaTayv is that moment of the recognition of what you got. And the Hidor is the second step. But the first step is, wow, look what I just got. That emotion is a tremendously powerful emotion. So the meaning of Kfiyah Toivah basically robs you from the emotion. You lost such a beautiful experience. You lost an experience of being able to be margish the tremendous matana that you just received. That's the flip side of it. A person looks back and the context of that, with the conversation I've been having now, the person looks back and says, look, I was in yeshiva, look how much I gained from yeshiva. It's not nostalgia. Maybe it is nostalgia a little bit, but that's not the main hargasha is a hargasha of I'm a different person. Look what I have because of this. And that's such a strong emotion that the next step is that therefore I want to give back. So the point of the relationship, relationships are commitments, responsibilities. I got to do it. This is the key in the Hechel Timsa to be able to appreciate what you have in a relationship to the point that you want to give back. That the relationship means so much to you. So your life has been enriched and you benefited from it, and you feel that you're a different person. So therefore, obviously, I want to give back. I want to give back with an understanding of what your needs are, because that's what the most logical thing I should do, right? So how do you do that? A person has to stop and think, where would I be without it? So sometimes that takes a lot of thought. You have these lost children, and they have these aged pictures, they lost a child in 1997, it's now, 17 years later, they have a picture of the child, from them, this is what they would look like, computer-generated, age-generated, based on their algorithms, etc., this is what probably it'll look like, child will look like 17 years later. What about in our emotional sense? What about in our spiritual sense? I'm not talking about what your face is going to look like. I'm talking about what you are going to be. Imagine what you would be if you didn't have that experience. Right? And look what you now that you're not like that. That you have this opportunity, this experience. So the hargosha is such an emotion that, wow. What would I be without this? Where would I be without this? It's not a question just now. It was a question of now, and it happened X amount of years ago. So there's a lot of years in between. The trajectory would have been a different trajectory. And instead of being here, I'm here. And the person looks back and sees all of that difference of all of these years. It's an intense emotion. That's what we feel with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what the Python is grappling with. Like, where do you start? Like, what would be without, okay, would be nothingness. But, step after step after step, you picture all of that. You picture all of that and put it together and look where I am and look where I could have been or should have been. And the distance is so overwhelming that, it's not just enough to think it, it's that you have to feel it. So it means it takes time to really think about it, really, really absorb the message. And it's done with thought process, it's done with actions. Because the more you force yourself to act upon it, the more you're training yourself to develop such real thought processes. And all of the relationships that you have, and all of the interactions that you have, and all the things that you benefited from somebody. It's time for marriage. I was close with one thought. One expression of this vis-a-vis a Rebbe is the Musuk of Kavod. One expression is... in Tells, where there's a very big negation on covet to Rebbe, covet to Torah, covet to the older Bacher. There was a Muslim covet to the older Bacher. The older Bacher had a right to cut in line. The special spot where they would cut in line, the Bacher over a certain age, because they're to be a Chachamim already, and they have to give them covet. It was a training, right? It was much more enjoyable when you're that age already. But it was a Muslim giving covet, right? So it tells, when the Baruch Hu come back from a Ben Ezmanim, they all will line up and give Shalom Aleichem to Rosh Hashivas. Over here, so Aaron walks by, and oh, Rabbi Aaron, nice to see you. That's like the other end of the spectrum. If you value what you have, you express it. I have something of value. I have something that I gained so much from. I want to express it, so I express it. But covet is the recognition of the value of what I have. That's what the word covet means. So if I really appreciate what I have, I express that. So it's such a valuable matana that I have. I express it in how I interact with it. It's something of value. You treat differently. When your wallet has $2 in it, you treat it differently. When your wallet has $10,000 in it, right? So if what you, this keli that you have over here is valuable to you, you treat it differently. That's in the kud of kavod. It's a recognition of the value which is there. Somebody made a comment, and said, I'm not sure if Ryan really would care if I come to the dinner or not. They said, that's 100% true. But that's nothing to do with you. That's not, that's his hargasha. Your hargasha is, I got something of value, I need to express it. Right? So this is an opportunity to express it. It was a little bit scary to me that we had not been effective in communicating to our Talmidim that a thought process beyond that. That this has nothing to do with him. Because I was a bit out of Ma'atzma. You need to express this. You need to say, wow, look where I am now and where I could have been and what I might have been. Look what I have, and I need to find a way to recognize that and express it. And that's your end of the relationship. And that, but nothing with him, whether he wants it or not. A husband doesn't say, since my wife, I only buy her presents if she appreciates that. That's the only reason why I buy her a present. Right? You buy it because you feel a need to be makratoy to what your wife has done for you. So whether it's whatever the trappings of COVID are, maybe some of them are, we create this thing, it's a guest of honor, it was a guest of honor. I mean, he's a guest, honor is the balabos, and he's the guest of it, whatever it's translated. it's a way for us to express something. It's been playing within my head, obviously, now for quite some, you know, the last few weeks, quite intensely, in a lot of beautiful ways, and a lot of ways which, you know, maybe I feel we need to think about it more. And I just wanted to share with you that thought. Getting back to the Korban HaBayis, if you think about what I'm saying, you understand how this was. If this is what predicates all of our mitzvahs in this world, and all of our running to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and all our interactions with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and with human beings, is all predicated on that. And it's the primordial challenge of man not to want to be meshubed. You can picture that this is something which is very, very deep inside ourselves, which we need to address and correct. And we still have this mitzvah which needs to be addressed.